Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
My God, it is Mercury retrograde right now, and I am feeling it.
We are on our third chord.
Third chord, 50th attempt to record.
90th little, like, troubleshooting moment. My phone's not been working.
Oh, yeah. What happened to your maps?
I couldn't load maps for a whole day. I was not able to load maps, and of course, that was the one day that I needed to drive my little ass all around the city touring apartments, and I had to old school. I was ready to print out MapQuest directions.
Dude.
My printer broke, so I couldn't actually even do that. God. It was a true, like,
yeah, comedy of errors.
Everything's broken.
That's the one thing. You know, when people are like, I could do it. I could give it all up. The smartphone, I could go back to a flip phone, like, say no more. Maps, for sure, is my most used app.
Oh, yeah.
I do everything on there. I look for restaurants. I look for phone numbers. It's my phone book. It's everything to me.
I also just use it to predict my ETA. I mapped my way here. I know how to get here. I could close my eyes and drive here, but exactly. I just need to know.
Totally. It's a real sense of security. No, there's nothing like maps. I would really have struggled with that.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of getting places, you'll never believe who I saw today on a Bird scooter. We crossed paths, quite literally. I think she, like, zoomed out from around me. Hunter Schaefer.
No way!
Yeah, just scooting down from, like, Los Feliz down Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I know. And she's having such a moment. Like, yes. She's on, like, the cover of GQ. Speaking of, that's a profile we should probably do at
some
point.
Oh, my God. I know the Rosalia one.
Oh, yes. And Dominic Fike.
Oh,
she
my God.
She references all our favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's some high profile relationships.
Yeah. I can't imagine how fun. I'm all in. I want to hear everything about that.
I know. Yeah. So I've had a day.
That's amazing.
I've had a few weeks with celebrity run-ins.
Wait, so have I. Okay. Get this.
Okay.
I was at a coffee shop, and then this is everyone who was at that coffee shop at the same time, separately,
Stop.
Not together.
No, I can't handle it.
Phoebe Bridgers walks in with a friend.
Okay, no.
Talking about Lucy Dacus, talking about something that Lucy's doing.
I don't know who Lucy Dacus is.
She's a member of Boy Genius.
Oh.
She's another member.
Oh,
it's okay.
I've never known
Don't
who
worry.
They are.
Don't worry.
Okay, perfect.
That's so fine. Charles Melton.
Who, with
his beautiful husky.
Who I have seen once. I think I've brought this up before across the bar. And my friend Alice was like, I feel like he's looking at me. And I was like, I feel like he's maybe looking at his A-list girlfriend, Kemi Mendez, standing next to you. Like, it's not you, baby. Charles Melton, please continue.
And Mitra Jhari.
Mitra Jhari.
She's an LA comedian.
Okay.
I would say that's not as...
It's a deeper cut.
It's a deeper cut. But everyone was all together in this one coffee shop off the Silver Lake Reservoir, La Mille, if you've ever been.
I've not been.
It was good. They have some good desserts. I got I feel like you would like this. It was a little pastry, blue corn, orange marmalade pastry. It's like a blue corn, like cornbread almost, but with a little swirl of orange marmalade in there.
I love anything that features a jam, as you know, famously.
Famously.
I'm the jammy girl.
Yeah.
This profile, not to like get way ahead of ourselves, there's a moment that references food. And we haven't had food in a profile since the infamous truffle fry incident with
MIA. Yeah.
Which obviously became such a pillar. A full stop in your tracks moment. Go back and listen to that episode, please, because it's wild. And Ivana did so much work.
Oh, my God.
It was so long.
Me watching an actual documentary before coming to your house to record, taking notes physically on a piece of paper.
So arduous. Yeah, no, I got so hungry. My mouth literally watered. And we're going to get to it, obviously, but I have an inspiration. Can I jump right into it?
Yes, jump in.
Okay, it's twofold, but they're vaguely connected. We have brought up in the past a journalist who greatly disparaged this podcast.
I've not told you this?
No.
I am fearful. I'm already fearful. My stomach's already dropped, and you haven't even said anything.
Okay, so we have never said their name live. We've bleeped it, I think, a couple of times, and we won't today.
No.
We're going to maintain their privacy. But there, to rehash a little bit, there was a journalist that listened to an episode where their feature was covered and absolutely blew us up. Blew us up. And was like very happy turned unhappy with it, kind of like live tweeted us over DM. Started off good and then took a turn. This was also back in the days where we were rating profiles from one to Pulitzer, which we kind of did away with because of instances like these.
Yeah.
Frankly, too scary. For me, it was a block and walk away situation. And that was that. For Ivana, it was shaking in the fetal position for most of the night.
And an apology note.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. In two sessions with my therapist.
Exactly right. So I was at a kind of a hang, a get together the other night, and was talking to a guy who in the movie business in some capacity, and we were talking about this project that I am now working on. An article of mine has been optioned, and I have been given like an insane credit, like an EP credit on this project. And I was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, like journalists never get this credit. It's really wild. And I was like, no, totally. I know it's such an honor. He goes, in fact, one of my closest friends, this journalist, has written some of the biggest articles turned into films and has never got an EP credit. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, why is that? And what I could take away was that it was her prickly personality, perhaps, for one. I'm not sure. But also just in general, I think that it's just like such a rare honor and really hard for women to secure, especially in the days when her articles would have been turned into movies, which would have been like 10, 20 years ago. That was really tough. But these two met because this guy read an article that she wrote that he appeared in, found her on Facebook in 2004 and blew her up and was like, what the fuck? How could you portray me like this? And a beautiful friendship began.
Wow. So, oh, that's hopeful to hear.
One inspiration coming from confrontation. And my next one really flows in so well because my second inspiration is elder female mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about them before. Because they trailblazed their way for us through Me Too and everything else, so that we only had to deal with mild sexual harassment and could openly dislike the Barbie movie. We owe them so much, but they are very scary individuals. Like Gen X, older millennial women, I'm obsessed with them. I tip my hat to them. But that's scarier than anyone on the planet. They've had to be tough to make it through to this point. And it feels kind of rare, and I don't know why, but it may be our industry. It's so there are 1,000 girls in a room who would kill, that we don't really have that mentorship that is so there in so many different places. Also, we have such a female-dominated industry. I think if you're in STEM or anything else, women probably look out for each other because they're like, hey, there's only a few of us. But, you know, we're in an industry entirely made up of women. But I have stumbled on to a Gen X lady, and my God, I went full baby. I was like, mama. It was crazy. I've seen my own mother maybe less than once a year for the past 7 years, and I don't know, I just completely fell at her feet, and I was like, teach me everything, take care of me, protect me, like I'm yours to do whatever you want.
Oh, there's nothing like it. It is a real freedom. That's wonderful.
Totally inspiring.
Yeah.
A genuine truly inspiration this week. Yeah. Yes, totally. She was like, I've been in this business, you know, 30 years, and I've seen a lot of bullshit, and I've had $20 million deals fall through. Like, you are safe with me. Oh. And I was like, oh, there's just nothing like it.
Oh, that's nothing like it. That's so good. I also had a week filled with scary older millennial women.
Tell me.
I returned to pottery, my triumphant return. I'm back in classes at my old studio. And the class, it was me and a few women of that demographic, I would say. And they began class by talking shit on another teacher loudly, like for everyone to hear. And I immediately, my stomach is clenching and I'm like, oh, that it's not very nice. And I did not say any of this. I just quietly listened as they were like, she's a bitch. Like, and I just forget. I forget that people are totally free to say things like that.
No, but I also think, and we've said it once, I think it's that generation kind of.
Yeah.
It's like they how do I phrase it? They feel much more comfortable to judge.
Yeah.
Which I kind of love.
Out loud.
And
anything goes.
I think we are cotton wooly. Like, we're not full iPad kid, Gen A, Gen Z cotton wool, but we are very, like, soft. And, like, to hear someone be like, "There goes a fucking bitch. I don't want anything to do with her." It's like, all right. I can run with that. I can get down with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Write someone off. I don't want them in my life. Like, that's your prerogative. Like, let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
I just, like, I hear so often, like, they're ridiculous. They're a bitch. They're just, like, I feel like there's, like, a big judgment call on, like, people's ineptitude. It's, like, they're inept. Like, they can't do anything right.
Yeah.
And immediately written off. But that's not my inspiration. The pottery, it was lovely. I can still do it. I threw the biggest thing I've ever thrown, which felt so good.
I don't know any of the terminology. I don't know what that means. You just throw clay at the spool?
It's called, like, throwing on the wheel.
Okay.
And so when you are, like, making a pot, you're throwing on the wheel.
Cool.
I know.
So you made the biggest pot?
I made a vase. I made, like, a big vase. And I was really excited. But that's not my inspiration.
Do you paint it now? Just, this is a truly.
No, trim it first. So I first have to, like, turn it over basically and make sure that the foot of it is nice and soft and looking good.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the kiln for the first bake. And then when it comes out, it's hard and more stable. And then you paint it and then you put it back in the kiln for one more time. And that's, like, the glaze fire. And that's the final fire.
And you're going to do that? You're going to paint it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. How exciting.
I know. I can't wait. Yeah. I think I want to put
a baby Diet Coke on there.
I'm ready to go. I've been practicing. I've been painting away. So it's time. My inspiration is the city of Chicago, which has come to my rescue in the biggest way this week, because I've been applying. I'm on the market. I'm on the job market, but the market that I'm on is bartender, server, cocktail waitress.
The hospitality market.
Right. And
no sexier market on the planet.
No, I'm ready to be a bottle girl. Oh, mark my words.
Yeah.
It's good money. It's easy.
Sparks in the air.
Yeah.
That's what Katy Perry was singing about.
Big smile, tits to my neck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have been going all around town, truly, like, I'm back in the 90s, walking around with a little stack of resumes, walking into restaurants and being like, "Hi, are you hiring?" To bars, like, "Hi." And I have not been in the hospitality world for years. And most of all of my bartending serving experience was in Chicago years ago at this point. Like, my first thing on my resume is from 2014. I thought this would be
a problem,
a hindrance. Yeah. Sort of like, oh, okay, so it's been a minute. No. Everyone that I've spoken to is like, "Oh, you served in Chicago? That's real. We need you." All the best bartenders I know are from Chicago, is something one manager said to me. Another one was like, "Oh, you're a Chicago girl? I'm a Chicago girl." We, like, shot the shit about all the restaurants that she worked at, the ones I worked at. She specifically called out the diner and then was like, "Okay, I'm going to fire someone and we're going to get you in here, because LA people have no work ethic. Chicago people know what's up." And I don't know if it's the bear that's just infiltrated everyone's mind into thinking, like, Chicago restaurants are real restaurants and everywhere else is all faking it. I don't know what's happened, but
for me, Chicago, and I know this is blasphemy, but Chicago is kind of interchangeable with Boston in the sense that it is good blue collar folk.
Yeah.
Like, roll up the sleeves, get down to business. Babies.
Yeah.
And that's respectable, because in Los Angeles, no one wants to do anything that might mess up their Jellix manicure.
Well, that's what she was like, "There's no work ethic here. People do not want to get down and dirty. And yeah. I can't hire another baby." And I was like, "Oh." But I did have a really devastating moment. It's my rose and my thorn. Here's my thorn.
Okay.
I showed up to one of these restaurants and there was a man there doing the same thing that I was doing. Little stack of resumes in hand. And I come in to him loudly proclaiming, "Look, I'm an actor, so I'm very personable." And I was like, oh. And then I look at his resume and the entire back of it is a full body shot.
No.
Yes. Posed. Abs out.
Not abs. Abs. Not shirtless.
It was a shirt so tight you could see it through them.
No.
And And then I had to follow him up and I was just like, oh my God.
I would have turned around and got the hell out of there.
I know. It took everything in me because I was like, what? I'm going to lose out on this opportunity possibly because this sweet young actor
with abs
beat me to it. Yeah. No, I will not back down.
Are you going to reveal on this episode who else you interviewed with this week?
No. That will come another time. If I get the job, if I don't get the job,
we'll talk about it.
It will be revealed eventually, but now it's too, we're in the thick of it right now.
Can I give just a little hint?
Sure. Sure.
One of our recent episodes. That's all I'm going to say.
That's good. That's good.
The Easter egg. You get your little basket out and you go hunting.
And you guess.
Yeah. Come into our DMs and guess. But it is better than I could ever imagine. You text me that and I was in full 9-to-5 mode.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's it for me. I am joining you on this quest.
Come through.
Because I can't imagine anything funner than being in this environment with bleep star.
Yeah. Also, you and I together, we would make millions.
Oh, dangerous, I think.
I'm convinced. Us coming over to a table together, giggling out the ass.
Well, no one puts on tap shoes quite like us, I think. Like, when we're working, no. We're really working. We're on.
Yeah, we're on. And I'm pretty sure we could sell someone anything. Bottles of tequila.
Oh, yeah. What else are they drinking? Water?
Yeah.
I go full Coyote Ugly. Just like, get out of my bar.
Spray.
Oh, my God. Well, speaking of someone who's never had a job.
So good.
But
perfect.
Fancies him a man of the people, if not a man of the woods, even. Justin Timberlake. We're bringing sexy back today.
Oh, I can't wait.
In fact, we're literally bringing sexy back today because this is the sexy back era. We're going back in time to 2006. Maybe my favorite year of all of them.
Yeah.
This is Rolling Stone. Justin Timberlake revs up his sex machine. After 2 years off, the pop singer is ready to get down and stoned again. So I am so excited to get... I couldn't be more excited.
This brought back so much for me.
I am going to reveal something to you, though. I just feel incredible that I'm coming to this with the knowledge that I am, this particular episode, because we talk about writers, obviously. We give a little blurb, a little bio, a little backstory on who the writers are that we're covering. This one in particular, I had never heard of, but is so incredibly juicy. And that is because, ladies, gentlemen, agos, we have come across our first Nepo baby journalist. And my God, it feels good. It feels so good to see
know
them
they're
in the
out
wild.
There.
Oh, they are out there. Yeah. But rarely do we know that mm-hmm. they're out there. And luckily, this man has a Wikipedia page. And that is how I know. But Austin Skaggs was born to Boz and Camilla Skagg. Boz, his dad, was the bandmate of Steve Miller in the Idols. And then went on to work with him in the Steve Miller band from 1967 to 1968. And Jan Wenner, who is the eventual editor of Rolling Stone and publisher, Wenner Media, owns every publication, was the witness at his parents' wedding. So there was really no getting around the media biz. Austin moved from San Fran to New York City to play guitar in a band at age 19. And while he was there, started interning at Rolling Stone. Really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
4 years into his job, he was assigned the random notes section and then incidentally started interviewing every prominent musician you can imagine, from Bob Dylan to Mick Jagger, Ray Charles, Kelly Clarkson, just anyone you can think of. He had a little one-on-one with. And he was particularly well known. I mean, he's still alive. I'm sure he's still working, but he is very well known for getting drunk with the artists he interviews. And more often doing drugs. So he did ecstasy with James Blunt.
Oh!
The article was infamous.
Stop.
The Blunt Life.
Oh, okay. We need ASAP as possible. We need to get in on that.
I also interviewed James Blunt. That's a total side note. It's a repressed memory. It's a blackout. It was horrible.
No.
It was one of my worst, actually. I think it's up there with my worst. He was one of the meanest people I've ever met.
Oh, my God. Where does he get off singing like that,
then? I know. I know. And you know the whole concept of You're Beautiful was like he was actually a stalker. Like it's like this fucked up song that everyone took to be the biggest romantic ballad.
What?
So that really like paints a picture for you because he was very mean. I grew up on that album specifically. My dad loves a bit of Blunt.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a genius. I was like, Three Wise Men, it slaps. And no, and I have to really take everything with a grain of salt from this time in my life because I realized that I was like 22 showing up to interview these like icons and I also like would have laughed at me, but he was particularly mean. Like it was shocking, like that kind of British banter that's almost too on the nose and then you never know if they're telling the truth, like if they're being genuine or not.
Uh-huh.
It was really, really tough.
Were you like high energy?
I'm
or how did you come
high
in?
Energy.
Yeah.
You know I'm high energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was
wondering.
I am
big smile. I am so excited to meet you. Love your work. Mm-hmm. Let's break it down. And yeah.
I witnessed one time someone that I interviewed have a physical reaction to me coming in high energy. Like their eyes kind of shot up and they like took a step backwards. Ooh. And I think about that constantly.
I have since then, I come in very, very mellow and chill now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you don't want to scare like wildlife.
It's exactly. Yeah. It's like creep up. It's a cat that wants to run.
Yeah.
Just
low voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Smell the hand first.
Yes.
That's very
it's
much
polite.
What we're doing. Exactly. But yeah, no, this guy was a big let's do drugs with the talent type of dude. Vice before it was Vice, truly. Austin would have fit right in. And in 2006 specifically, my God. Huge, huge year. Full cultural reset vibes. It kind of continued where 2005 left off with this early rumblings of scene culture. I mean, pop punk bands were everywhere, going absolutely bananas with their military jackets and angst.
Yeah, black hair, dyed black hair.
Yeah, yeah. Jaggedly cut to the side. Oh my God. GHD has never got more business than at that time. Just flat ironing those bangs. But Panic at the Disco, Mayday Parade, My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, Cure's What We Aim For. Like they all
I was in there with them all. I was in there with them all.
For you, a curly haired lass, I just.
Oh, devastating.
Those split ends, I can't even imagine.
I fried my hair to a crisp. To a crisp. I remember I went to one of the festivals where they like all played together. It was like Never Shout Never, Mayday Parade, Fall Out Boy.
Beautiful.
It was incredible. Incredible.
I remember thinking that the whole like don't straighten your hair wet thing was like a suggestion.
Oh my
God. It was like a don't like don't do it, but like you can do it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was all the way down.
That was the soundtrack of my adolescence. Just
oh. We become an ASMR channel. We just everyone listens to us straighten our hair wet.
Us doing our own bleed. Bleed. This bleed channel. But it was also weirdly, it felt like just such a contradiction, dichotomy, whatever split synonym you want to come up with. Because in conjunction, like The Hills was premiering. Ugh. And soon after Keeping Up with the Kardashians would premiere. Like this was in the works at this time. And like the hottest people on the planet were George Clooney and Angelina Jolie. So very like classically handsome, hot people. It was like an era of hot people, which maybe is why there was this uprising of counterculture in the sense of like, we don't care that we're like ugly and we're black eyeliner. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know. Not that I mean, you know, metaphorically ugly.
We don't care that we're ugly.
But also, speaking of ugly, like Ugly Betty debuted this year. It was a really time of like hot people and not hot people. I can't be certain, but I think Devil Wears Prada may have come out in 2006.
That feels right. That or 2007, it's got to be.
And at the same time, like Facebook was expanding officially, so it was going beyond college into the mainstream. It hit international student networks before opening up registration in September 2006 to anyone over 13. And the other thing running in tandem at this point in time was the gay of it all. The gays. Mm-hmm. The gays stepped out of the shadows and into the light in 2006. Former NSYNCer Lance Bass officially came out as gay. And then Brokeback Mountain was like nominated for a bunch of Oscars.
Oh my God. That movie holds up.
It was, does it ever.
Oh. You know, an Anne Hathaway role. that is oft forgotten, but shouldn't be.
No. My God, that woman's slate.
I know.
She's done it all. She's seen it all. She's been everything.
Yeah.
A beard, now a MILF.
I know.
The boss of Robert De Niro. Oh, what was my that? God.
No, the intern. The intern. Wait, no. Yeah, he was her intern.
Yes, yes.
Of course.
Talk about female mentors.
I have never wanted to see a movie less. I'm sorry.
I got halfway through.
I saw that
it.
And I went, no, not for me.
And now his wife is the intern.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
Oh no.
That's when we deploy the vocal beep.
Yeah.
But speaking of NSYNC, Justin Timberlake's Future Sex Love Sounds, which was released this year, was one of two best-selling albums of 2006. The other one being, of course, Beyoncé's B-Day.
Oh.
So they were neck and neck, those two. And I wanted to go back a little bit and just give you some context on Justin himself. I don't know if this profile really does that. It stays in the moment for a good hot minute. But if you don't know where Justin came from, it's from Memphis, Tennessee, which he sings quite, you know that, dude. You're giving me a quizzical look.
I would have thought he was from Palo Alto. I'm sorry.
That's James Franco. But
of course.
Same man, different font, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, Memphis, Tennessee. Doesn't he sing that? Like in Senorita? From Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah,
got
maybe.
Something special for you tonight. I mean, he sang a song for y'all. And one of the girls sing with me. They go, it's still sex. That's it.
I just thought that was a lie. It's like how Creedence Clearwater Revival is from like the Bay Area.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there are
yeah,
all
yeah,
these
yeah.
bands where you're like, wait, you sing.
Yeah.
No.
No, but truly, he's from Memphis, Tennessee. His mother was a Baptist church choir director. And she had him when she was 20 years old. The father was like a blues singer. So that's where he kind of got it all from. But he wasn't in Justin's life in any way. He does have two half brothers. He has a half sister who died shortly after she was born in 97. But yeah, he just grew up on music. He was listening to country artists like Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson. He was singing country and gospel from a really early age and then appeared on Star Search, much like Usher. We've recently learned, who had the widest vocal range of any child ever.
Oh.
Do you remember? It was like from that episode, like 6 octaves or something, buck wild. And then, of course, he would make the pilgrimage to become a musketeer. Musketeer.
Yeah.
Musketeer.
I like musketeer better.
To become a musketeer. So I'm a Mouseketeer on the all new Mickey Mouse Club, and he was on that from 93 to 94, and with some of the brightest damn bulbs in the universe.
Yeah.
I mean, Britney Spears, obviously, Christina Aguilera, Ryan Gosling, Carrie Russell. Just a crazy lineup of these kids who would go on to truly be Hollywood's hottest celebs of all time. And when he joined NSYNC in 1995, it was just a straight shot to success. Now, I didn't realize, like, I knew they were popular, but I thought the Backstreet Boys were the boys of the day. Dude, that was so loud.
Why did
you put glass on glass?
No, that's a bad idea.
You put a glass, water glass on a glass coffee table.
I know. Me just smashing dishes here over here.
I'm breaking dishes.
What's that? Rihanna.
Oh, yes.
I used to listen to that when I was mad.
Oh, that was right. That was when you were doing your prison era push-ups
in
the bedroom.
Yeah, fifth grade. Me just...
There's nothing I don't remember about you, frankly.
I know. I feel the same way about
you.
It's
a vault.
Yeah, I know. It's like every piece of information is important.
I was like, why did you need a prison body when you were
I don't
9
know.
Years old?
I do not know. I was training for something.
Well... Justin was training for the big leagues with NSYNC, and he was kind of already there. So their self-titled debut album, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because it doesn't happen anymore. Like, Taylor Swift isn't getting these numbers. 11 million copies of their debut album. And that is the record that had like Tearing Up My Heart. So that huge moment, obviously. And then their following two albums had It's Gonna Be May, Bye Bye Bye, Girlfriend, This I Promise You. And then they went on to perform at the Oscars, the Winter Olympics, and the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh my God.
Like, what?
Children.
Arise. Children. All the way up. And they went on a hiatus officially in 2002. And that was mostly because Justin wanted to pursue his own career. He went on tour with Christina Aguilera in a dual headlined Justified/Stripped tour. They actually have a Q&A with Rolling Stone that I was really, I found on this excursion and was really tempted to just rehash. It's really wild. It's the two of them just going back and forth.
That's so funny. And so young, I'm sure, too.
Yeah, and I wonder, because I know that him and Britney broke up 2002, 2003, that if this was not direct revenge, I mean, Britney and Christina didn't have a good relationship.
No, so. Wait, I've heard this, because I also think there was some controversy around the photos that were taken where he's kind of all over her body.
No, that's super sexual.
Yeah.
And obviously Christina was in that time,
yeah.
But they are extremely like hot and heavy. Also, dude, the way that Ozempic is Ozempicking for two people the most, and that is Kelly Clarkson and Christina Aguilera. Like, those women are literally...
I haven't seen them recently.
You haven't seen either of them?
No.
Oh?
Is it really insane?
My God. It is... Wait. You haven't seen Kelly?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I have a really strong memory. This is another thing to put in your vault. Kelly Clarkson was my first concert, and I remember watching her. I was with my best friend, and our moms were behind us. And I remember watching her. We were side stage. Those were like the tickets that we could afford. And we were having the time of our lives. And then I remember hearing our moms talking about how she looked fat.
Stop.
And I remember being like, what?
No. Okay, well, I'll play you this little. That's how small she is.
Oh. What? She looks like a petite.
No, she's the tiniest woman you've ever seen. She is a pine needle in the woods.
She looks, her face is different.
I mean,
of course.
Everything has changed. I mean, that's a little tinier than Joey King in this photo. And that is a five foot woman.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. You think that's crazy? I'm going to show you Christina.
We've gone too far. It needs to be taken away.
No. Like, Christina is particularly shocking. Like, it is. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Tell me that's not 19-year-old Xtina.
Oh, my
again.
God. Oh, my God.
And this is a 50-year-old woman.
Okay, even her hands.
No, the craziest part about...
No meat on those bones.
Look at this. I know. The craziest part about both of these women is their reasons are wild. Like, Kelly Clarkson alleged that she just walks around New York City, and that's kind of what did it. And I think Christina said she went on the fruits and vegetables diet or something very niche for like 2 months. And that's that. So when are we going to
There's such
clean?
A long standing history of that.
I know.
Of like, oh, I just, you know, bounce around. I
Tell
do some jumping jacks
it.
Once a day.
Exactly.
And that's how I look like this. You lie. And you know you lie.
I'll never forget this quote from Pam Anderson saying she knows she has to lose weight when she jumps in the mirror and sees something jiggle. And the way that affected me 4 years.
Oh my God.
That saved me 4 years. Because you know her boobs are standing still. So if there's anything jiggling, something is wrong in her opinion.
Oh my God.
But oh my God. Back to Justin.
No, yeah, back to Justin.
I know.
Okay, Christina,
know.
We went off, but we had to.
We went off, but my God, did you know he made $6 million from the I'm Loving It? He made $6 million.
No way.
Yeah, I just was like deep diving into his finances because I just like couldn't believe how successful he was. I was a bit too young. I don't really remember this. And obviously he was huge, but this is another level.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl halftime show where he exposed Janet Jackson's bare breast instead of a red lace bra that was allegedly supposed to be underneath it. And then this is all in 2004. And then basically both of them were threatened with an exclusion from the 2004 Grammy Awards unless they apologized on screen. And he was nominated for multiple awards and ended up winning 2 for Justified and had to, give a heartfelt apology about the breast reveal. It's so crazy. And I think it was also made worse because he was such a sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
On another level. I mean, the New York Times editor, Sia Michel, I think, wrote in 2007, since his last tour for Multiplatinum Justified, he has learned how to project sex symbol edge. I mean, Napster's founder, Sean Parker, who he played in The Social Network, was like, the man looks nothing like me, but can I say I'm mad at being portrayed by a sex symbol? Like, It's just, I didn't know that people actually, I mean, obviously he was so hot, but really, I mean, people were crushing hard.
He's never elicited an intense reaction from me.
He has for me, for sure.
I do like the music, though.
Oh, totally.
Future Sex Love sounds amazing.
But he also had so many high-profile relationships, or maybe consecutive high-profile relationships, that he was nicknamed Trouser Snake.
No.
So, yeah.
I don't like that.
The original Big Dick Energy, Trouser Snake.
Trouser Snake.
It's crazy. But we find him today sitting with Austin Skaggs. I had to fact check it because Sir I was Skaggs. Like, it can't be Skaggs.
It couldn't.
Yeah. Senor Skaggs. And they are in Amsterdam, front and center, watching Justin perform. He is sitting next to Justin Timberlake's mom, Lynn. And she is, when you think of stage mama, when you think of mama, that is Lynn, because she's got a skinny cigarette. She is sparking it up with a cow shaped lighter that shoots flames out of both nostrils.
I want it.
And clutching a fresh Heineken in the other hand. It's giving Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yep.
This is Justin's mom. And Justin himself is 25 only in this moment in time. He's playing this club gig. He's got a full band there. And he thinks he's like the hottest rock star to ever live. He's like mixing Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit into Like I Love You, his song. He's like playing his new single, Sexy Back. He says, this song is from my new album. If you don't like it, fuck you. And his mom is singing along to her boy Smash at the top of her lungs.
It would be so fun.
I'm just imagining mom being like, I'm bringing Sexy Back. Like, just, yeah. I can't position that.
No.
I can't.
No, it's hard. It's. I think you only know how to do it when you've lived it.
Yes, and I think there is a phenomenon, I don't know if we've talked about this, but moms that are obsessed with their sons, and in a way that almost feels like, I don't want to say this, but like, you know, vaguely romantic even. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, I wish I were with him, kind of. And I feel like that is particularly true of young moms, and even more so young single moms, because they're the man of the house, their son. So she gave birth to Justin when she was 20 and says, like multiple times, that they quote unquote grew up together, she tells Austin. And basically, like, while Timberlake is like on stage, like singing, whatever, she talks about him being a baby, 3 or 4 months old, like kicking his legs in the perfect rhythm with the music, like harmonizing when he was 2 years old, like with along with the radio. She calls his biological father a sperm donor. But is really grateful to him for genetically instilling her boy with perfect rhythm and perfect pitch. Randy Timberlake played bass and sang high harmonies in a bluegrass band with Lynn's brother, and that's how they met. So Timberlake was kind of like a star from the get-go. He was like set up to be this incredible singer. He went on to sing in church and then went to the Mickey Mouse Club, obviously. And he stood out like from the beginning. NSYNC came about when he was only 14 years old. He signed his first record contract. And he was like, I thought I was the coolest freaking guy in town. You couldn't talk to me. Nobody could tell me anything. I'd be like, bitch, I have a record contract. And he really lived a hard and fast life with NSYNC. He was like, I think I used up all of my lives as a teenager. It's always more impressive, you know, drinking when you're not allowed to do it. And he was like, in these days, I try not to burn the candle at both ends, which, wasn't this your life story?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You got to college an old maid.
Yeah. I was like, oh, honey, I've done this. A cigarette on the porch. I'm like, you have your fun. You have your fun now. Find me later.
You go out there and those Jeffrey Gamble leaders and
I know.
Live the life I've already lived. Yeah. No, it's so real. And he talks about like being very grateful to NSYNC, which Austin kind of notes even back in 2006 is cool. I think the proclivity of child stars, or anyone also who's specifically in boy bands or girl bands, loves to look back and be like, lol, what was that? And Justin is like, no, I'm really proud of it. We had great times. And like, I just like, even when I was being monetarily raped by a Svengali, he's referring to the group's founder, I think, right? Lou Pillman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But he was like, we were just five really lucky bastards. And this is when Austin gets straight to the crux. And because this is 2006, we have to bring it up. One of whom he writes is Lance Bass. I struggle with the Chuck Bass and the Lance Bass and the Lance
Bass. I think it's Lance Bass.
Lance Bass.
Oh God,
no, that's not with my accent.
No, Lance, that is really.
Bass.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
I'm never going to say that again.
No.
He obviously had just come out as gay, and Austin wants to reference it here. He was like, shortly after Timberlake's European trip, Lance came out.
Perfect. Yeah, it's Lance.
I'd be lying if I said we didn't all know, Justin tells Austin a few weeks later. It was never weird, though, and it was never spoken about. I think it was his own self-acceptance more than anything. I'm happy for him. And at the same time, Lance is his own person. And the question has been thrown my way plenty of times since he announced it. At the end of the day, I don't feel like I should be bothered about it. He's my friend, and I'll always support and protect him.
Holds up.
One of the best quotes I think you could literally give. Like, yeah, well, I'm getting done. Asked about it all the time, and I don't feel like I should have to comment. I mean, kind of ahead of his time. We're gonna give him credit where it's due. In 2006, that's big. Homophobia was rife.
It was just the butt of all jokes that someone was gay.
Totally.
It's like, oh, ridiculous.
I know. And I'm obsessed with this transition of being like, NSYNC, one of them is gay.
Yeah.
And then the perfect setup. As for Justin's own love life, which he's not talking about, we should add, but he is currently being relentlessly hounded about Cameron Diaz. They've been together for 3 years.
Long time.
Long time for a relationship we've all forgotten about.
22 to 25?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And I do remember she was older. I remember that was kind of a sticking point, you know, as it always is with these relationships with an older woman. But he's talking about just like how invasive the paparazzi is. He was like, I've run the gamut with how I feel about it. I've had the confrontation. I slapped a paparazzo, and that was bad. I had to go meet the district attorney, who slapped the back of my head and said I shouldn't retaliate with violence. And I was like, of course, you're right. So he was like, this is a really interesting time to navigate because everything and everybody is so completely accessible, which I find funny because obviously it's predating social media. Like, they're really not accessible in the way that they are now. I mean, I could literally DM Justin Timberlake if I felt like it, which is truly another level as to whether he would respond. I mean, that's moot, but
yeah, not real. A married man.
But speaking of him being hot, I mean, he's playing Paris Lalsagal Theater, and he's in like a burlesque type environment, and Cameron is literally on her feet singing the words of every song back to him, like Sexy Ladies, My Love, Until the End of Time. And the girls are out. The girls are out in full force, absolutely loving a little bit of Justin. And this is where I got so hungry. After the show, they walk around the corner from their very fancy hotel, and they contemplate a late night order from McDonald's, a cheeseburger for her, a fried apple pie for him. And I'm like, God, that's visceral.
Yeah. I can taste it burning the roof of my mouth.
My mouth just watered thinking about a fried apple pie.
I got McDonald's, not last night, but the night before.
What'd you get?
Stopped through the drive-thru. I got a quarter pounder with cheese and fries and chicken nuggets and a Sprite. Coke. It was late. I didn't want the caffeine.
Okay. Wow, you are betraying the...
I know. Yeah? DC.
I hate that we've turned this into like a quirky little thing.
I know.
We could have stuck to the matcha like everyone else.
Good God.
Oh, now we've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else has arrived? Justin Timberlake. Because he's come off Justified. And that was like his break. I mean, no one, I think, expected that album to be as successful as it was. And we get into it a little bit here. Austin, rightly fucking so, credits so much of Justified's success to Timbaland, who was really in the studio. He made 4 songs. The Cry Me a River joint of it all was, I mean, the chef's kiss of the album. And that was Timbaland all the way. Rumor has it that Justin got off the phone with Britney while he was in the studio, and obviously there was this alleged cheating scandal, but as we know, as we came to find out, and the woman in me, Justin, was rampantly cheating, and then she also had an affair, and that's what blew up the relationship. I'm going to add an allegedly in there because, you know, we want to be careful.
Of course.
He gets on the phone, allegedly, with Brittany, and he hangs up, and then he's like to Timbaland, let's go. Like, cry me a river. Like, let's go. And it's unclear if he said that on the phone to her or what happened, but it turned out to be a huge, huge track. It sparked sales topping out at 4 million, which is outrageous for a single. I mean, that album too, I looked up old reviews. Rolling Stone themselves gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Like, Justin, you're a free man was the final line of that review. You've done it. You're free of NSYNC. You are a star in and of your own right.
Which is true. I mean, every song is good.
Every song. Every song. And to do it back to back with the sophomore album, you've obviously heard of the sophomore slump, mm-hmm. which is when stars just like can't keep it up in the same way. But he did it with Future Sex Love Sounds. And not just that. I mean, he's on the cusp of a burgeoning movie career in this moment. Austin goes out to Jimmy Fallon, then a series regular on Saturday Night Live, who talks about Justin coming on. And he was like, he just has such great comic timing. We were all impressed. We're about to go live. We had our backs to the audience. And Justin said to me, remember the harmony on that one part. Seriously, remember it. Jimmy's like, I'll never forget that. I was so nervous. I wouldn't nail it. And then for coming off SNL, he was like inundated with acting offers.
Wow. Honestly, I mean, he pulls it off.
He is a triple threat. Like, he is, when we think of triple threats, like, that is him.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen very often. It doesn't come around.
Like, no, it's
who,
true.
Like, who do you know who's acting, singing, and dancing at that level?
Okay, Christina Aguilera.
She's not acting.
Burlesque. You sound like a fool.
Burlesque is what you're holding up?
She's amazing in that. She's amazing in that. I rewatched it the other day. It's the strangest movie. It's filmed on like a camera that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it is saturated to 1800 degrees.
Yeah.
Cher has never been smoother.
No, no. There is like, it's like Swarovski crystals a front of the camera lens.
The wig is wigging with those bangs.
I know.
It's just, it is a movie like Cam Gagagnet. There's a vampire in there.
Oh my God. Cam, of course. Who's too buff. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. It's not working.
Do not look like just a man.
Hypothetically, like, she should be, like, she's a bartender, like, showing up door to door in Los Angeles being like, give me a shot.
Yeah.
And then you're greeted by Cam Gagagnet.
No. I'd be like, I'm not safe here. And a fedora. I gotta go.
Dude, speaking of pronouncing names, I have no idea what syllables I'm using.
No.
Cam Gagagnet.
We'll leave him for the dogs.
Yeah. I always just like conflate it with gadget. I just can't look past it. When I read it, my eyes see.
Oh no, gadget. I just, my brain goes blank for things like that.
But my God, that guy on the OC, that was my sexual awakening.
What was he on the OC?
He killed Marissa.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, spoilers.
Oh God.
Can you imagine?
Oh.
Someone coming to this?
Oh
we
my
destroy
God.
Their
might
lives.
Get removed from all streaming platforms.
Oh,
for
but
that
yeah,
alone.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous out
Jesus
there.
Jesus Christ.
You and I are always blowing kisses to the lawyers.
Well,
with the allegedlys.
Let's just add a bleep.
Yeah.
A bleep. Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, he was absolutely killing it in the movie space. It sounds like Alpha Dog director. I've never heard of this movie, but let's just go with it.
Yeah.
The Alpha Dog director was like, Justin's got such an easy way of moving. It kind of reminds me of a young Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
Amazing.
Being up there with, you know, Scientology extraordinaire, John Travolta. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Oh my God. Also, yeah, wait, Nick Cassavetes saying this kid's got a rocket ship tied to his ass. One day I hope to be his assistant.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's a huge praise. And in the midst of it all, Justin's like, you know what I should do? I feel like I should get back in the studio, you know, give it a little bit of a go. And he's like, I really wanted to take more of a chance. I don't know why I'm doing this one. He's like, I wanted to experiment. I knew that I needed something new because he decided that the current state of pop radio was sad. And to that I say, have you heard of Father to Daughter, Confessions of a Broken Heart from Lindsay Lohan? Because that is premier pop music.
Open your eyes, open your ears.
Yes. Turn on the radio.
Yeah.
And you'll get an education. But he was like, I just don't want to do anything that sounds like that. I just didn't think pop in that moment was very good. And so he started messing around on this album. The president of Jive Records was like calling him up, like, when's it going to be done? And he's like, I don't know. It could take a year. And Austin says that he moved at a pretty leisurely pace. He would have a few weeks in the studio, a few weeks off. And he jokes that he suffers from ADD and that's why he has such a cushy schedule. But I don't think that's how ADD works. Don't you just like lock in and focus and then crash?
Well, it's like you have a hard time focusing. Maybe. It's not. I don't think that's what's going on.
No,
here.
I don't think that's what's going on there whatsoever.
But I did find it completely fascinating that he wrote a whole album without touching a pen or paper, that he didn't like write down.
Oh my God. I stopped and I read that aloud to Chris because I was like, okay, we do this and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of research. Mm-hmm. We're like reading the profiles, like word for word, obviously.
Obviously.
Me explaining literacy. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes like you come across a tidbit that is so revealing, so juicy that you're just like, this is why. Mm-hmm. Like I have dinner party conversation topics now for the next 20
for
years.
For yeah. years. Decades.
And this is a great example. So Justin walked into the studio with Timbaland and was like, I want to do 5 or 6 more Cry Me a Rivers. It was a cold day in November. Justin Timberlake arrives in Virginia Beach. No lyrics, no melody, no plan. Timberlake, Timbaland, and Timbaland's protege created a classic called What Goes Around.
To come with nothing and leave with that?
To come with nothing. It starts with the keyboards. It goes into a straightforward drum pattern. And then what's layered is this recurring sitar figure, sublime strings and hooks that pile atop one another to cascade into the chorus. Timberlake never writes down his lyrics, so he attacked verses, bridges, and choruses in the vocal booth whenever inspiration struck. Everyone knows he's talented, but this dude wrote the whole album without touching a pen or paper, Timberlake's protege says. I'm like, what type of shit is this? I've heard stories about Jay-Z or Biggie doing that. I mean, I've heard that story about Jay-Z, mm-hmm. literally just showing up at 3 in the morning, freestyling,
leaving.
But I've never heard of a singer doing that. I think it's some sort of superpower.
Yeah. How does that work? People have whole teams to write songs. Oh, like, yeah. What goes around?
I mean, fucking Julian Michaels and Benny Blanco.
Yeah.
Never leave Selena Gomez's side.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
It's wild that he was able to do this.
I don't even know how that would work logistically.
Yep. Yeah.
Shocking.
It's taking all of me to not play a little... snippet.
I know. For fear of the lawyers again.
I know. That is truly blowing a kiss to the lawyers and running away laughing.
Yeah.
That is like smashing their mailboxes with a baseball bat and being like, try me.
You can't catch me.
Yeah. So lyrics like, I was ready to give you my name, thought it was me and you, baby, and now it's all just a shame. I mean, come on.
On the spot coming up with that? We think we're poets. We're not.
I know. I've never claimed to be one.
I'm like, I heard you say, I'm like, you said that to people. You said it to a lot of people. That's how you introduce yourself.
We, you know, introducing yourself as poet, I think we've talked about it before, is a whole nother ball game. It's asking for trouble.
I know.
It's because everyone's like, how the hell can you get by on that?
Yeah.
What is a poet's salary these days? But at the same time, you know, he came up with Love Stoned, another obviously iconic track. And this was a quote that stuck with me because I think it truly holds up. It's still relevant in 2024. And obviously, I mean, it's almost been 20 years since this. This is so crazy. But he's like, everything else has a gimmick. These days, the names are bigger than the songs. people want to see pictures, videos, cameos, collaborations, fame, association, like some uber cool party that you can't get into. And he thinks about it and he's like, and I know my name is now on that guest list, but that's not what inspires me. He's coming off pretty well in this. Yeah. I have to say, for a 25-year-old.
I know, wise beyond his years.
We caught Usher at 25 and yeah. It wasn't this good.
No.
The April Fool's pranking. I mean, we're on a different level.
Yeah. It has to be because he's been famous for so long. I don't know how he's kept his little head screwed on tight. Well, I really don't.
I know. Well, we'll get to it. But there's been times when the rails have gone off the track.
I know. And he's just released an album that nobody liked. Nobody liked it.
I know. But he does say something poignant here. He's very self-aware in this moment, it feels like. He's like, I don't feel like I'm really bringing sexy back. But when a 28-year-old male or female is standing in a club in New York City at 2:30 in the morning and that fucking song comes on, I want them to feel like they are bringing sexy back. That's what music should do. When I was a kid and I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand, I wanted to find someone's hand to hold. When I listen to Hotel California, I feel like I'm on coke. Caveat.
Sort of.
Because he's never done it.
Yeah, of course not. He was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Do you know what it is to me? It's the fact that he says 28 when he's 25. I was like, you could have chosen any age, Justin. And I really appreciate that you went for the older bracket.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cute. You went for the latter 20s. Like, that's your epitome of sexy. Like,
cool. Well, he's dating Cameron Diaz at the time, who I bet was 28. I would bet on it.
Yeah, you could put money on that. I think she was 30. I think she was a little bit older.
Yeah.
But yeah. He really split the difference with it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, so they're in Amsterdam and Justin is now like taking a couple days off. But of course, Austin is with him at every step. He is getting like accosted at the canals with fans and like label people. And he has this kind of like blank, you know, it gives nothing away kind of expression. And Austin's like, huh, like what is he thinking? So Austin pulls up, they get in a car, and they head to the club. The DJ announces Justin's arrival. They are ushered immediately upstairs to the VIP area. It's littered with champagne. God, Austin's really living in this moment, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And they start to pull out pre-rolled joints from an Amsterdam coffee shop. Now, I think it's like, this obviously sounds, I mean, not that wild in today's context, but to be actively smoking weed with talent.
Yeah.
I know someone who was threatened to be fired for like vaping.
Really?
With talent. Like it was a, yeah.
Too far.
Too intimate. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Totally. I won't say the magazine, but it's like a cool magazine, which is why it felt so foreign. But yeah, I mean, to be actually smoking weed in a time when weed is not legal like anywhere in the United States and so many people were incarcerated for it for decades,
mm-hmm.
like cavalierly, it just feels very much like white male privilege, I have to say.
Yeah,
like,
of course,
right?
Yeah. This would only happen this way.
So I mean, Austin carries on describing the night. Apparently Justin does some like weird stoned dance exercise, which I can only imagine is choreo, and frankly I want to see it. I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But he is just kind of like chilling. They're all chilling at the hotel now and listening to his music and like getting high and talking about like the follow-up to Future Sex with Rick Rubin. And that's kind of it. Like they're just like, you know, kicking back.
I know.
Shooting the shit.
It's so cool.
I know.
Just all of them in Amsterdam hanging out.
I mean, if there was... Okay, this is a great question. Oh, I've got the question to end them all.
Oh.
If there was any profile for you to jump into, which one are you doing? This is so hard.
That's so fun.
I've got two.
Okay, go.
I've got two. I've got Budapest with Shawn Mendes.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course. Put me there.
Budapest with Shawn Mendes, running around a festival, pouring pints with him and Kygo.
Yeah.
Just living up large. And then also meeting his family in, what was it, Lisbon or something?
Portugal.
And then my other one would be feeling Kim Kardashian's boobs.
Yeah.
At her home. GQ.
That's so good.
Katie Weaver, yeah.
That's
about you?
So good. Let me think. My mind, only because we've been talking about him so much, to be in the room with John Mayer in his in the most chaotic time of his life.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be just curious to be there and take that in.
You absolutely but it's not fighting for your life to keep him on track when he's just like, I love to just like fuck women in the pussy. You know, I just love to do it. Is that great? Sue me. Lawyers?
Yeah, sorry. I'm not. But that's not particularly fun. The ones that you picked.
Oh, like I know. The I activity know your one. I've got
what?
Yours.
Oh, what is it? Thank God. Thank God you know, because I don't know.
It's Chris Evans.
Oh, 100%.
It's the club with Chris Evans and then ending up in the gutter outside his house. That's perfect. Yeah, that's you.
A Boston pub.
Oh, yeah.
My home.
Oh, yeah.
My home.
Santa Monica to WeHo pipeline. Yeah. I mean, never felt more alive.
No. That's so yeah, that's it. That's totally it.
That's gotta be it.
Oh, or
okay,
it's Channing Tatum in the desert.
We haven't done it.
Oh my God.
We haven't done
it. We haven't done
it. No, we
haven't
done it.
My false memory kicking in. Okay,
we haven't done it yet.
There's
but
so many teasers this episode.
Oh my, the Easter eggs are just like
all over.
It's all over, and we're already coming out of April. I mean, come on.
Oh my, we've laid our whole plan bare.
I know. We've laid some eggs.
Yeah. Two hens. Roosted.
We are a little bit too loose.
I know.
We're
gonna
rein it in.
Okay. We're back. But
speaking of reining it in.
Yeah.
We're now back in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
With Justin Timberlake. It's a few weeks later. And Austin is like hanging out with him in the studio. He, funnily enough, the first thing he says when he sees Austin is he brings up that moment where he had that like blank expression dealing with fans. And he's just like, yo, those freaking females, they drive me insane. He was like, thank God you like rolled up in the Range Rover and we got in and went to the club, because I was like, I was struggling back there. It's like, okay.
Oh, I hate females.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It bothers me in...
The men who say females are a very specific type of man. Females. Like, I really got into it with a female back there.
Yeah.
It's like...
These females.
Yeah, it's referring to another species. Like...
Yeah.
It's not... They become something unhuman.
Yeah. I think that's really at the root of it. That's what I was going to say, too. It's like, you don't think women are people. Just say that.
Yeah, just say that.
Just say that out loud instead.
I don't know if that would go over quite so well, however.
No.
Although, interestingly, he kind of does say that he has a weird effect on people, where he feels like he's genuinely nice, but there's times where he's just like so invested in, he says my seclusion, but what he means is himself, where he ends up pushing people away. And he's like, I realize like the way that I act like really impacts the people that I meet. And so, he has a certain vibe that he knows sometimes may come off a certain way.
Mm-hmm. But it also makes people act insane, because women try to like run up to him on the stage and tear his clothes off.
Right. Yeah. You've got to have some sense of like self-preservation and like protection. And that means that you can't be all smiles all the time.
No.
Exactly. And he's at this moment. This is so interesting, because like, okay, we're closing out. We're getting to the end. And he's musing on his future career the way that so many are want to do. To bring it back to Usher, who everyone described as the black Justin Timberlake, or people described Justin Timberlake as the white Usher. I mean, those two were hand in hand in the pop on the pop charts. Why are you laughing and shaking your head?
I don't know. It's just...
That's all we have.
The whole English language, the full breadth of what we can do. No. And that's the closest we can come to explaining who these
the white Usher and the black Justin, like yin and yang in the pop music space.
Unbelievable.
So this is why like they're so in parallel in this moment. But you'll remember that Usher was also like musing on his future. He was specifically referring to his funeral and what he wants it to be. Justin is looking a little bit closer into the nearer future, and he's saying that he just like can't have a career where he puts out album after album after album into his latter years, much like the Rolling Stones. He said he was just having this conversation with Jay-Z. Me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to like my boy Jay. We were having this chat. But he was like, haven't you made like 12 albums to Jay? And he was like, I'll be lucky if I get to 6, because I think I'm kind of going to be done. I want to be splitting my time between LA, Tennessee, maybe like Italy or Spain. Just float around. The dream is to be able to have a schedule like I've had in the last 5 years, where I can just like put out a record and tour, then take a little break, maybe do some films. But I don't want to work this hard forever.
Mm.
First of all, never a more relatable thing has ever been said. I don't want to work this hard forever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, babe, you've got your full Woods era to come yet. There's so much to come. Yeah. You've got mirrors, 2020 vision.
I wonder if his creative process has remained the same, where he just walks into a room without anything prepared and then...
It may make sense for what we've got out recently.
I know. Lightning doesn't strike three times.
No.
It can strike once. It can strike twice, but...
The touch of God's hand.
I know. It's left him.
He was talking about in the lead up to Future Sex Love Sounds, which obviously became his most successful album of all time, that his dreams were nightmares. Like, he was scared shitless. And I think that's a big reason why he's like, I just can't do this over and over again. Like, it is so scary to be this vulnerable. And Austin's like, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot on his plate. He's committed himself to bringing sexy back for all of us. He's got all the friends and family he can handle. He's got a brand new image to sell to the world. And like his mom told me, in the middle of a live performance of What Goes Around Comes Around, fuck this pop star shit. I can die a happy woman now. My baby's a rock star.
What a closer.
Wow. That woman wants to
I know.
Be with her son.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Lynn. Let's be real.
I know.
My baby's a rock star? That is only appropriate when I'm saying it about you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that's saying my baby. That. And she's a rock star.
And she's a rock star.
No, that's too much investment. It's really like no wonder he was in Mickey Mouse Club. It's like mom energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She caught it early. And I mean, good on her.
Good on her.
I'm sure there are many talented young children whose talents never see the light of day.
Correct.
And he, of all the people that became famous of this era, has maintained like some level with controversies here and there. The big one being Britney. I feel like there has been a public perception change with him in the recent years where... Well,
I was going to get into that and explain it in more detail, but in 2021, this is where it kind of stems from. He spoke out in support of Britney Spears ending her conservatorship. And wrote on Twitter, like, no woman should ever be restricted from making decisions about her own body, like Jessica Biel. And I send out love and our absolute support to Britney at this time. We hope the courts and her family make this right and let her live however she wants to live. So he was the good guy in that moment. And then when her autobiography, The Woman in Me, came out and kind of revealed that he was playing the guitar at her while she was recovering from her abortion on the bathroom floor, that kind of stuff, it just... combined with obviously all the cheating and how much it ruined her and the fact that she took the brunt of their relationship ending on the chin in a Barbara Walters interview where she absolutely reamed her for destroying America's golden boy's heart. I mean, look, it was a tough read and revelation, and to then for him to go and release an album and start the press cycle all over again. Not a cute time.
No. Yeah. The last few years have not
been kind
to him.
Right. And then he obviously went on stage recently. I think it was at Irving Plaza in New York, and he threw a free birthday party show, which is the other thing. Yeah. I think it was a free gig and you could come and it was to celebrate his birthday. And then he was like, I have no one to apologize to, is what he said. So it's
a guilty man speaks out.
It's tough. And obviously, like, he's got this new album out, which right now, I mean, the name is escaping me, even of the album. I know the tour is called Forget Tomorrow World Tour.
I don't know the album as well. And I just know that I think all the ratings were bad.
No, it was so bad. Brittany Spanos, who is an incredible music journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
I pulled up this excerpt because I just couldn't not. She said, has a comeback ever been more poorly timed? Approval ratings for Justin Timberlake have dipped lower each year, coming to a head with Britney Spears' memoir. As Timberlake has been rolling out his new single, Selfish, the response has ranged from tepid to fury. It's not Timberlake's best work, but it's also not horrible. It sounds like a watered-down version of Nick Jonas's Jealous.
Oof.
Which is particularly tough because obviously Jonas was cosplaying Justin with songs like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leaving the boy so band clearly. To have like a sexy R&B infused single. I mean, it was all clear. And then chart wise, even worse, the song debuted lower than Ben Shapiro's Facts.
Oof, 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 oof.
I mean, thank God for the trolls money is all I can say. Mm-hmm. Thank God for that.
I know.
That Disney money.
I feel like he's been in some, you know, like a Zootopia kind of situation.
Yep.
It's good. It's nice work. I've heard great things about voiceover.
I mean, if you want to disappear and go and live in Italy and Spain and Memphis, I mean, it's now's the time to do it. I mean, he can really like kick back into his retirement. I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm like, how are these people going to age out?
Yeah.
Like, we're younger and younger than ever before. You know, Kim K is cracking on at a pace like no one's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like, okay, now these stars are firmly middle-aged. Like, we're watching reality TV stars that are middle-aged. It's just a totally different time when it used to be like, okay, 29, you're put out to pasture. So I just, like, I don't know, how do you phase out? Mick Jagger will never stop touring. No. Neither will, Bruce Springsteen. I don't know.
It's hard to say because I think that and of course, you know, Elvis was a megastar. There were megastars, but the ones that we grew up with.
But Elvis died at 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
40. You're 40. Right. Yeah.
We've never seen megastars age to the end. Like Whitney Houston, right. Also before her time. Mariah Carey. Like, I'm so curious about Mariah Carey touring at 73. Is that what it's going to be?
It will be.
I think it's going to be a lot of Vegas residencies.
Totally.
For sure.
But I mean, take out musicians, like, I mean, actors can get work, obviously, but it's more just like remaining in the zeitgeist at the level they once did. It feels actually impossible in mm-hmm. this moment. It's when you've been around this long, you either have skeletons a la Diddy, or it's just, you just can't grip the youth the way that you once could. And obviously the youth of the key consumers are the ones with the pulling the purse strings of their parents.
Do you think Justin Timberlake is going to be like our Jimmy Buffett? It's like,
I hate to say it.
At the point that,
sorry to this man, I don't know who Jimmy Buffett is.
Oh my God. Don't worry. He died. He released music that was sort of, I mean,
oh,
we
he
would
got
call
conflated
it,
with Warren Buffett when he died. Is that correct?
I don't know.
I think,
That may be true. I'm sure that's true.
No, I'm
he's
familiar.
Margaritaville. He's
yes, yep, yep.
Cheeseburger in Paradise. It's like uncool music, but beloved in his time. And
but this is the problem, is Justin is cool.
Yes, I know.
He was he was the coolest.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sexiest. And to go from that, I think is hard work. I mean, look. This kind of brings me to my prevailing question, which is like, how much do you want to interview him? For the first time, I think we may have conflicting viewpoints here.
I'm okay.
I really do.
Mm.
I really, really do. But I think that stems from primarily like my fandom.
Yeah.
I haven't said this, but he was my first album my first CD that I bought and my first concert. So it runs deep, but I think it's more so like, I just want to figure out the trajectory. Like, I want to work out where it all has kind of gone, not necessarily wrong, but his maturation just hasn't hit. And he couldn't have held on to Sexy forever. So that's another thing. But yeah,
I think you would do it justice too. You must, if given the opportunity. I'm also so curious. Him and Jessica Biel have been together since 2012.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Totally.
For stars. I'm so curious what keeps them together. For how sure. It all works.
Yeah. No, they seem to have settled into quite a normal life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you could see them at the coffee shop and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have two kids, I think.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. God, her body. Sorry,
I know.
To just objectify for a second.
No,
but
no.
If anyone hasn't seen the movie, I want to say it's called Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr.
I know the one.
She walks out of the pool. He's driving a lawnmower and he goes rogue because she is like the most insanely beautiful athletic physique I have ever seen on screen.
Watch it because this one will actually be healing. We're not saying like watch this, you know, 1999 runway show where Naomi Campbell looks amazing.
Yeah. It's so like fit.
It's healthy.
It's healthy.
It looks healthy.
Yeah. And it's just so sexy in that way. But yeah, Justin, man, did he bring sexy back for you in this moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved coming back to this. I loved coming back to this time, learning more about him. I'm surprised he carried himself so elegantly all throughout this profile.
I don't, smoking weed with the boys and like keeping it straight.
Yeah. The worst thing he said was females, but I forgive him.
I know. It's a tip of the fedora.
Yeah.
It's a well done to Justin.
Yeah.
No, I really, really enjoyed this. And a lot of it was boys being boys. Mm-hmm. It was very, like, it was a boys club profile.
We couldn't have written this. No. We wouldn't have been treated like this.
No, we would not have been treated like this. There is no way, because we are the females.
Yeah. And the fact that you and I smoking weed at the club, the way that we could not, a little tickle in the throat would have ended our career. To cough.
Oh, in front of Justin. No.
No. I would have sooner died.
I mean, to be love stoned in front of that man. Yeah. I mean, you can't do it. You have to hold. There's nothing scary than weed to try and tolerate your way through.
Weed is honestly such a scary drug.
It's so scary.
It's way scarier than the people let on.
It's so fucking strong. What is it?
It's too much. It's too much.
And you can't be social. Like, it's like.
And it lasts for a while.
It lasts forever. Oh, my God.
I know. Mind and body and spirit all woven in together.
The coolest people are stoners, because they're the ones where they can literally switch off in the brain.
No. And I've had my identity with weed questioned many times. I've had good experiences, bad experiences, whatever it is. But I have friends that can just actually smoke an unlimited amount. Yeah. And they're like, I'm like, but when you get too high, don't you freak out? And they're like, no. Like, when I get really, really, really high, it's like, okay, this is me now. I'm free. There's nothing to be done.
Whoa.
I'm here. I'm embracing how crazy high I am.
That is incredible. I could never. Our inner monologue would cut us off at the knees.
No.
It would be get, fuck you. Everything you've ever said is wrong.
Yes.
And everyone's staring at you and thinking how crazy you are.
I know.
No. Austin, Justin, the boys. Yeah. It was what's meant to be. It was what's meant to be. And you are what's meant to be for us. We're so happy to have you listening. And we love you so, so, so much. And we can't wait to be back next week with another probably very hot person. Let's not lie. I mean, they're all fucking sexy and hot.
But I feel like we'll get a good one for you next week.
Oh, yeah. See you soon.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.